we've been rescued because we are valued, highly valued. And there's a piece of joy in that. So that's where we fix our lens. That's where we fix our focus. Yes.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks.
Season 11,
episode number 15.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love as we continue to celebrate the Christmas season and we lean into a posture of wonder, awe, and anticipation of the coming Messiah, the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us, coming to us. And we are so glad you have joined us for this Advent series as we discuss hope, peace, joy, and love together. And who better to spend the Christmas season than with you, beautiful, inspiring women, Nicole Langman, therapist, author, and speaker. Welcome back, Nicole.
Thank you. I'm joy-filled to be here.
Oh, that sets us up really, really well. Bishop Jenny Anderson, welcome. Rector of St. Paul's Bloor Street and St. George's Grange Park in Toronto. Welcome back, Jenny.
Lovely to be here.
Yes, it's great to have you here. And in the middle, sparkly and shining,
absolutely.
Cheryl Nemhard,
where she belongs.
Justice advocate, podcaster, international speaker, and director of Women Speakers Collective. And finally, Anne Voskamp, New York Times best-selling author, speaker, and blogger. Welcome, all of you. What a journey it's already been through our Advent season. Now, last week, we discussed peace. Cheryl really hit it out of the park with peace. What's one quick learning that you took away from our peace discussion last week?
Again, I go back to the refuge. I go back to that place of refuge being a strong tower on a high tower.
Like a walled fortress.
Right? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's the same thing.
Thanks, Mouse.
I think like King Ahaz, who reached out to idols and pagan things in his anxiousness, that in the absence of peace, we make wrong decisions. And so it's so important that we find and cultivate peace within so that we can be aligned with what God is calling us to do.
So good. Yeah. Peace is not a place that we strive to get to, but a person whom we make space to be close to. In the midst of the pace of the seasons, we experience true peace.
Yes. Yeah. So good. That's right. And I think we also talked about how peace, being a person, is actually a baby, a vulnerable baby that yearns to be picked up and embraced by us. That God actually wants to do that for us is such a gift.
So and I loved in that discussion, like we said, peace is a person.
Yes.
And who came as a child, a vulnerable child to bring peace. And that was amazing, Cheryl, in your teaching. And again, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to download our The Wonder of Christmas, A Guide Through Advent in the Psalms study guide on our website, because you want to follow along with us, because there's lots of questions and practices and reflections here, action steps, and so much more. And I'm glad that we've been working through this already together. Well, on that note, let's get back into our Advent series, The Wonder of Advent Through the Psalms. And this week, Nicole, I know you're bringing your thoughts, wisdom, and research on the wonder of joy. So we are ready for you.
Yeah, I am so excited about this week, this midpoint in Advent, isn't it? So today it marks the third candle. So we have already lit the first two purples, and today we light the pink candle, which is actually supposed to be more of a rose color, but it's hard to find rose color candles, so it's pink, and it's called the joy candle. And I didn't understand the pink candle. I wasn't raised in a church that we really understood Advent. And so I didn't understand pink. I thought someone might have run out of purple candles, and so they threw a pink candle just to wrap it up, just to fix patch the hole there. But the rose is important. It symbolizes a pivot. It's a pivot away from the more reflective, repentant, earlier days of the Advent to celebration, excitement, and anticipation. I love that shift. So I'm so grateful for that understanding of, okay, the pink actually is symbolic of the shift. So it also represents the shepherd's anticipation and excitement of Jesus's birth, and also our anticipation of his second coming. But in my looking into this a little bit more, I thought it's also a sense of just deep-seated joy and knowing that Christ is in us, Christ in us, Emmanuel with us, Christ in us. And so it's almost this threefold piece, isn't it? The anticipation and excitement of the shepherds, our anticipation of his coming again, and that he lives and resides in us. And I think that's really, really special. I've actually heard this week called the Mid-Advent Pep Rally.
Oh,
yeah. So there's a lot of that celebration. We are, no kidding, right? And I think that that makes really good sense because it's signaling the celebration of Jesus's birth, his second coming, and him inside us. He's alive. Jesus is alive. And that is worth celebrating. That's worth rejoicing. The Latin word for rejoice is Gaudete.
Yes.
So this is also another word for this this third Sunday, isn't it? Gaudete. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. And some churches, the clergy will wear actually
pink
robes. Isn't
I read
that.
That's
like the best thing ever.
I love
like
that.
To wear pink to church.
Have you done this?
No, but I'm going to. I should.
This is it. You've got your opportunity this year.
Pink outfits.
Yeah, we'll keep your eye on you, Jenny. So I love the Psalms. The Psalms are full of reminders to rejoice. In fact, in some translations, there's almost 100 reminders to rejoice and joy in the Psalms.
That's incredible.
So Psalm 98, 4 through 6, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with the trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King." This is a call to worship. It's a call to celebration. And I think that is so beautiful when you think about what that actually means for people of history, but also people for us too. So we are invited to break out in praise and worship. We're invited to rejoice. This is an action word, isn't it?
Yes.
We can do joy.
It's not passive.
It's not passive. Yeah.
It's not just a feeling.
No, it's active. You're right, it's not just a feeling. And we're such a feeling-focused society, aren't we? Yeah, but joy is a choice. And it's rooted in a trust in our Savior and the truth of his life. And so we really can kind of like pull back a little bit. We can recognize that that is actually where we find our joy. So the candle's also referred to as a shepherd's candle. And I love this part. I didn't grow up in church, like I said, that taught Advent. And I really didn't understand why the shepherds got their own candle. And because some things become so familiar, I think it's really important for us to listen deep to the familiar stories we've heard, especially if we've been raised in church. So I'm going to read to you from Luke 2, 8 through 11. And there were shepherds. I want you to listen to this as though it's the first time you've heard this. Really picture these guys out in the field. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." It's goosebump material. It feels personal, intentional. And what I really appreciate about this is when you think about the shepherds, there was no light pollution from Bethlehem. They weren't scrolling or playing Candy Crush. It was dark. It was darker than dark.
It would have been nothing.
Yeah. And I think about the mental gymnastics of trying to figure out what is this? What is going on? And how terrifying that would be. But then we find that mingling with awe, turning to joy. Here's something really interesting that comes to mind when I think about 2,000 years ago, no parent wanted their child to grow up to be a shepherd. It was a lowly occupation. It was nomadic. It was dangerous. It was isolated. And here's these guys, and God chooses them. God chooses them. And we find him doing that often throughout the Bible, don't we? Finding unlikely folks, calling up people with less than favorable pasts. And then we see Jesus waiting for the Samaritan woman, and we see him waiting for Mary in the garden after his resurrection, and then God opens the heavens for the shepherds. And I think this is so, so great. One of the things I love about this story with the shepherds, they hurry off. They are so excited, so overcome with joy. They can't stay where they are. So their livelihood, they leave it. Maybe there are other shepherds tending their sheep. We don't know that. The Bible doesn't tell us. But off they go to find Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and to share the word. And then in verse 20, what do? They return. They return. We don't know. We assume, scholars suggest, they return to the field. So while their situation didn't change, they were changed. they were changed, because that's what Jesus does, doesn't he? He changes us. He might not change the circumstances, but he changes the situation. He changes us. C.S. Lewis says something that I love. Joy is the serious business of heaven.
So good.
It's a reminder that joy is not fleeting. It's eternal. It's not dependent on circumstances. It's a taste of heaven itself. So here on earth, our joy is a glimpse of what's to come. We can anticipate what's to come. So just as we like move away from move into the discussion of the shepherds, I'm curious, when you think about the shepherds, when you think about the joy candle, what comes to mind?
Well, what I really appreciate what you just said is when you read it and said, listen to it for the first time, it said the shepherds were living in the field. I don't think I sort of had a sense of them like, it's actually where they lived. You're this was their home.
Right.
It's not they weren't just like clocked in for work and clocked out again. And that sense that joy can break in the midst of our ordinary daily lives, pretty boring, mundane, dangerous.
In the dark.
In the dark.
Yeah.
Right? And it just broke in. And then they were surrounded by the glory of God, right? Something external to them that then swept them up in the midst of their very ordinary, mundane life. So that struck me when you said, listen to this for the very first time. They were living in the fields, and that's where they found joy, or where joy found them.
And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, everyone had come back for the census to be counted. So what were they doing in the field? And as I kind of did some research, there are some suggestions that perhaps they didn't even get counted.
Wow, they weren't
even qualified.
That's right. Well, that's so classic God. Use those people.
That's right.
Checks out.
It's interesting living in the fields.
Girl, listen, you got me. I love when you said that the shepherds returned. So while their situation wasn't changed, they were changed. And joy has this uncanny way of restructuring the landscape of our hearts, internally reframing everything, even if our externals are the same. So that just reminds me and all of us today that we can have joy in the hard seasons, joy and grief, joy and struggles, because joy has a way of just changing our posture, our optics. It causes us to draw closer, to mingle with the awe of God. I love that. And I'm just going to hold on to joy. I think we think we need things for joy, but we bring joy to our situation. It's inward out.
Good, Cheryl. Just really struck, Nicole. These are the people that aren't even counted. These are the people that, like, if you ever felt like you didn't matter, if you ever felt like you were completely dismissed, couldn't you find joy in your situation? And to realize that the circumstances of their lives, how they were seen by society, did not change. But they were the people who experienced such joy, they had to go and share that joy with others. And I think about my own life, I just confess, there's so many times where I think the circumstances need to change for me to find joy. As opposed to realizing that joy is a function of gratitude. Gratitude is a function of perspective. The situation, the circumstances doesn't have to change. Can my perspective change? So in the midst of the holidays, when it can bring up all kinds of grief and loss and missing, because it brings up all these emotions of what we want the story to look like, can I shift my perspective to look for the gifts of God, the things that I can be, there's always, 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 always something to be grateful for. Can I shift my perspective, choose gratitude such that I can experience joy even in this circumstance? My perspective has changed, the situation hasn't.
It's so good, Anne. And from a therapeutic perspective, if we look at cognitive behavior therapy, you're bang on with that. Thoughts inform our feelings. Our feelings inform our behaviors. And so if I change my thoughts, my feelings, but if I'm focused on the pain and the struggle, if that's where my lens is focused on, then I miss sight of some of this other stuff. But if I'm focused on the joy and the gratitude,
Nicole, I'm interested in going back to the Bible story of the shepherds there with the angels. Talk more about that. Like, that's unreal.
It's unreal.
Like, did people, was it just them? Did people see it beyond? Like, I would be more fearful and in awe than joy. Like, I'm still trying to get my head around that significance in that moment of scripture.
It's such a powerful thought when you just let yourself linger in, isn't it? So they're living in the fields, like you said, Jenny. And so there, it says nearby, but what does nearby mean, right? Like, this is not, we're not really sure what that means, but it's just so dark.
Yes.
And that God would choose to just open the heavens to these men and living in the fields, mm-hmm. maybe because everybody else was so busy. Maybe because the city was bustling with the newcomers and the homecomers and all the things that were happening. These men were literally just living in the fields.
I think that's a real word. Often the only place God can get hold of me is at night. And when I can't sleep now, I'm often like saying, all right, is this you're trying to get a hold of me, right? Is this the only place I can experience your glory, the only place I'm allowing it to happen?
Right.
Which I think is, to go back to our earlier discussions of these habits of the Advent wreath and resting in scripture and prayer, is sort of putting ourselves in darkness in some sense and saying, all right, Lord, let your glory shine here. Good. Be still, which is what you were saying last week, you know? Yeah. So I think the fact that God meets these men in the darkness, I think is actually really encouraging, right? There is no place without the light of God.
Right, and in the scripture, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. If you ask people around what will cause you great joy, people are going to say, you know, $100 million on a 50-50. for us in Toronto, the Blue Jays winning the World Series. I don't want to bring that. I'm trying to bring joy, I know. Yeah. But what I mean, though, is like, it's the person. Like I would think if the angel was saying that, you know, what would be that thing of joy? So you can imagine maybe for a moment they're thinking, oh, this could be it, that could be it, my circumstances. Mm. And then today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.
And you know, you know what lights me up
right
now? I could do a Pentecostal lap in the
go for it, Cheryl. Take a lap. Do it.
It's just that it's so God. He uses the common. The low. The broken. The overlooked. The forgotten. For great landmark history making moments. And it's just such a beautiful reminder that I don't need to look to my right or left. Comparison is like
the
it kills.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
And I say comparison is the killer of calling. So all right, let's go.
Both are true.
Like God uses the ordinary and God uses the so-called simple things.
Mm. So. And you know, it's what's so interesting too is like we know that happiness and joy are different.
Yes.
Right. So happiness is circumstantial. It's situational. And when happiness, when good things happen, happiness shows up. When bad things happen, happiness disappears. But joy is actually like, it's a soul knowing. Mm. It's a deep core soul knowing. And trust and faith in the God who is sovereign, the God of the promises. He says things are going to be okay. He wins, right? And so we can stand in that joy. Yes. And the joy is a soul knowing, whereas happiness, situational.
Mm. I feel like this is a real theme of our journey together in Advent, is like we talked about the difference between optimism and hope. And it's so helpful, joy versus happiness. Yes. Not situational, but rooted in the character of our faithful God who's proven God's self time and time again for us to rest in, which is why this kind of resting in prayer and scripture is so helpful to remind ourselves of that.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Something I was struck with here when you were saying lean into the passage is it's both a communal promise and an individual, right? The angel said to them, so the promise is to all the shepherds, right? They're there in community, right? So God speaks to communities, but then it's very personal. A Savior's been brought to you, right? So we're personal. Meant to be in community. God speaks and works in community, but also sees you. you don't need to compare yourself to anybody else because the promise is just for you. And I just think that's a wonderful image of how God works. Right? We're meant to be in community, personal. But the promise is totally personal.
Anna's making copious notes.
I am.
Anne, what are your thoughts?
I guess I'm just really struck that, going back to what you were saying, Melinda, what are we longing for? Mm-hmm. Like they were, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Mm-hmm. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is who they've been longing for hundreds of years, seeking the watchman. We started off
watchman.
Hope up, the watchman up there, looking on the horizon, the coming of the Savior. This is why there is such great joy. Their hearts were searching and longing and waiting for Jesus, which convicts me in Advent, looking towards Christmas. What is my heart really longing for? Am I really anticipating a personal, intimate encounter with Jesus himself? And then if I experience that deep joy knowing in my soul, we are the people who can't contain it. We are like the shepherds who need to go and tell everyone, look at the Savior. Savior has come.
Yeah.
The real rescuer for whatever valley you're in right now.
Good.
I'm gonna confess, like I know you're all gonna say amen, that I have sometimes I already know that
I'm leaning in what you're saying.
Amen. I have sometimes looked for external things to bring me joy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what it is, and I'm still processing the thought in real time, but this mingling with awe turned to joy. And then you talked about a shift of perspective.
Yes.
And I was like, and then you said something, you said joy is a choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do I make that choice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do I shift my perspective?
Yeah.
I mingle my ordinary life. I find the awe.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, I find the sacredness in the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
I see the hand of God in simple things, in a conversation, in a moment. I'm looking for the
always
blueprints.
Always looking for something that those thankful for.
And,
yes,
and
the light.
That brings joy.
Yes.
I think we've lost the sacredness of very simple, common things that God is doing.
Yeah.
We look for the big firework. It's got to be angels. But it's just, you know, it's returning back the next day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And still finding the sacred.
You know, Cheryl, perfect segue into, I think, as we're sitting here, we know that there are women and men around the world who are like, we hear you, but the joy parts we still don't get.
Yeah.
You have no idea the depth of despair that I'm in right now.
Yes.
The loss, the grief of dreams, of people, of my life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard this on so many of the stories, you know, through the years.
Yeah.
Our world needs joy. We need joy. Mm. What is our encouragement to those that are stretched, exhausted, depressed, but also deeply unjoyful, not joyful, not joy-filled, and come into church or spaces and go, people are like requiring that of me, that I should be. I'm filled with God's Spirit. Be a person of joy. And I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
What is our encouragement to them, to us, to that person?
I think you're like the shepherds. And it's okay to sit in the dark.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
It's okay to be honest about how dark it really is.
Yeah.
And know that God comes to me in the dark. The overlooked person that everyone else has forgotten about, God comes to me. And in the dark, can I look like we started off with a hope candle?
Yes.
Can I be a watchman looking for the light? Can I look for just glimmers of stars? Mm-hmm. Just a bit of the sacredness?
Yeah.
Can I slow down enough, be still, look for the glimmers of his holy light coming to meet me as a shepherd in the field?
Mm-hmm.
And that when I can be grateful, then I can be joyful. You don't go just to the joyful. Sit in the dark.
Yeah.
Look for glimmers of light.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm grateful for this, and joyfulness comes from our gratefulness.
Mm. I also think, I really appreciated that, Anne, and just being able to acknowledge the pain, and also knowing some joy is only going to be in the life to come.
Yes. That's good.
And,
that's
right. You know, we're yearning for the second coming. Yes. Like, Jesus may return tonight. Wouldn't that be amazing, right?
Yeah.
Like, and some of my things, my problems are not going to get resolved in this earthly life. I can have God with me in the midst of the pain, but I have the promise of a life when that will all be renewed.
Right.
All the problems, my kids, everybody, it'll all be renewed. The joy will come. And
so
I think that's...
remember that we're in Advent, but this isn't we celebrate the first, but we're looking towards
the second.
Second Advent.
And Advent helps us be patient.
Yes.
Not easy, but
not
patient.
Easy.
Right.
Yeah, and one of the things I'm thinking about too with Christmas and the Advent season is that this whole thing is a rescue.
Yes.
And a rescue by its very nature is an indication of worth. And so there's joy, our worth.
Worth
he came for us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's joy in that. So while all of this also might be true, and there's so much grief and loneliness and struggle and all the things that happen for people in this season, it's a painful season. We've been rescued because we are valued, highly valued. And there's a piece of joy in that. So that's where we fix our lens. That's where we fix our focus.
Yes.
Like you said, because both can be true at the same time, right?
We have a Savior.
Yeah.
Like it says.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes. With Savior is born.
Yes.
To you.
To you.
To you.
To you.
It's personal. He's personal.
Yeah.
So.
And not only personal to the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes, and I will say this, we make the relationship very personal, and it is.
Mm.
But we also remember that God is for all.
Yes.
For all of us.
Yes.
And for the world, for our neighbor, for the person beside us, for the world.
Yeah.
And so we take it personally and say, yes, this relationship is needed, is it what grounds us, is what gives us joy.
Yeah.
And it's for everyone to receive and accept.
Yeah,
and I think that brings me joy, that it's not an exclusive club, but it's like literally his joy and his hope and peace that we've already done in the Advent discussion is for everyone, for the world.
Good. Yeah. Right. And for creation. You saw that in the psalm we read, joy to the Lord for all the earth. Like not only all people, but our creation is going to be renewed and all that beauty is going to be given to us at the end of time, which is such a wonderful thing to look forward to.
Yes.
All the answers are incredible. I don't really have much to add, except that, you know, the Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
So good.
And so there's the waiting for the morning. Mm-hmm. I don't have to try to manufacture it. I can just sit where I'm at. Mm-hmm. But I want to just maybe close with this. Joy is a choice. Mm-hmm. So I'm choosing joy in the midst of my grief. Mm-hmm. I'm finding a small glimmer, a small poke in that that darkness. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I think now would be a great time, Jenny, for you to pray, sort of close up our conversation and pray joy into our lives and to those listening, those watching.
I'd love to. Let's pray. Yes. Let's pray. Mm. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us, that you love each one of us personally, that you know each of us by name, you know all the hairs on each of our heads. And Father, even though we may feel in times of darkness right now, times of despair, we do ask that you'd meet us. We'd meet us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and just pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, that we may be agents of peace and hope and reconciliation this Advent and Christmas season, knowing that this joy comes from the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, who comes to each of us individually. Yes. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we'd love for you to join our community because we can't do See Here Love without you. Huge thanks to Nicole. Thank you for like digging in into the research and work of joy for us. So thank you for being here. Jenny, Cheryl, and Anne, thank you so much for a great team, great discussion. So encouraged. And I love too that we're working through the Bible study guide. And I want to encourage you that if you haven't downloaded it, please do seeyourlove.com/advent. Also, page 9, which we were working off of, really want to encourage you this week, the week of joy, to go through the reflection. Joy is not dependent on circumstances, but on God's saving work. How can you cultivate joy when life feels ordinary or heavy? Sit on that. Sit on that reflection. Journal and pray that through. Next up, we have the practice. Each day, write one reason to rejoice in the Lord. Sing or listen to a psalm-based hymn or carol as an act of praise. I mean, that's a good practice to do each day. And then the readings for the week from day 15 to 21 in the Psalms, all kinds of joy readings. And then our action, set up a hot cocoa stand and invite your neighbors. I love this one. Dance. How about this one? Dance, sing, and add a joyful tune to your week and dance.
Great.
And don't forget to download your free Advent study guide as well. And also, if you need prayer and you need to be encouraged toward more joy in your life and to know that you're not alone, please call our 24/7 prayer lines at 1-866-273-4444. We'd love to pray with you today. And as we start and end this Advent week with joy, may your life be a song of praise to Jesus. May your heart overflow in praise and worship, even in the ordinary and difficult days. Mm-hmm. And always know, you are seen, you are heard, and you are deeply loved by the God who brings and gives you joy.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See Here Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks.
We are able to do See Hear Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.